Hello and welcome to KIOS at the Movies. I'm your host, Joshua LeBure. Today I'm joined by Ryan Bayless to discuss his film How to Make Love, which is playing at Projecting here in Omaha on Friday, July 24th at 7:30 p.m. How to Make Love is a funny, heartfelt, and beautiful film, and one of my favorite films that Ryan has made. I asked him about the process of making the film, and especially about making one overseas in a language that he doesn't speak. Here's Ryan Bayless.
The origin of the film was funny because I had just made this film midwinter. It had $100,000+ budget and had an investor and a crew and a cast and a script. And I shot it in March, and my wife and I had planned to go to Europe in the spring, in May. We were going to take a boat across, and I thought, I'll write a script and maybe I'll make something there, or I'll write a script and that'll be my next project that I give to an investor and we make into a film. In the interim of finishing Midwinter, giving the footage off to my brother to start the edit, I got antsy and I and our ship got canceled. And so we were no longer going to take a boat to Europe. We were going to have to take an airplane, and we were going to arrive a week early. So we flew to Amsterdam, and I was like, I had a DSLR camera, a shotgun mic, a travel tripod, and a hard drive with my laptop. And I was like, I'm just going to make something while I'm here. Maybe I'll make like a travel vlog, or like, I just had all this creative energy and I wanted to kind of like reclaim my personal, like, I'm going to make something purely for me, for art's sake. Part of that trip was going to be in Copenhagen. So I shot some stuff while I was in Amsterdam that I really liked, of this like guy, me, hanging out in Amsterdam. And I was like, okay, we'll start with a lonely guy who's traveling by himself. And then the kind of like angles that I can get will work for that. I can jump in front of the camera like I did when I was a kid. And so I approach a lot of this stuff like documentary, as always, where I let the story kind of just like reveal itself. And so I reached out to my friend Miriam, who I'd worked with on two films of mine, one called Hymns and one called the Devil One.
And Here No Devil Can Hurt You.
And Here No Devil Can Hurt You. Can I just say that I'm at the place in my life that I'm forgetting the names of my movies? That's insane. but when you make 40 features, I guess that's what happens. Miriam connects me with Ingrid, her friend of a friend from acting school or something. And Ingrid is this theater actress who, I mean, she's an actress all around, but she was doing this like one-woman show, and that's sort of how she was making her living. And she was off from it. She had this break time, and I sort of sent her some ideas. You know, I was like, hey, you've been recommended. You seem really nice. Do you have any interest in doing this movie? And she was like, great. Maybe you could find another actor, and I'll just film you guys, and we'll figure it out. And then she couldn't. She sort of felt like, I think she was like, I don't know if I should recommend other people until I get to know you, and you're only going to be here for a short amount of time. And I was like, all right, I'll act with you. Let's just like come up with some stuff. And so I kind of pitched her the concept of this lonely guy coming to rent an apartment from this woman, and she wants to get pregnant and seduce him. Or her friend convinces her to seduce him because he's just traveling through. And they kind of come up with this idea. And that's sort of where we landed. And the fun part of making it was that we rented this cool place in Copenhagen, this little tiny apartment. She would come by every day and we would talk about life and about the ideas for like an hour in the morning. Maybe, you know, not too early. We'd have coffee. We'd take our time. And then we would just shoot a bunch of scenes based on those ideas. Then we'd talk again at the end of the day, usually over a glass of wine or two or three. And then she would leave and on her little bike and then come back the next day. And we went that way for like 4 days, 5 days. So I combined this stuff I'd shot in Amsterdam of me by myself, this stuff I'd shot in Copenhagen, and then this little tiny bit from a train in France. So I was on this big excursion that I felt was such a beautiful shot and symbolic of the sort of ending of the film. And we ended up making this film that I absolutely adore. As far as like, if I could say that about my own work, like this is easily maybe my favorite film I've ever made. And it's the smallest with the least amount of resources other than the humongous luxury of being in Denmark with talented people. And Miriam, by the way, my friend who connected us, is a part of the film. She was pregnant. And I want to say something I just love about the about her is that she was just so down to play and be silly. And but she was sort of self-conscious about being pregnant. She was so pregnant. She was like, ah, everyone's going to think, what happened to this girl and all this stuff. And she looked beautiful, first of all. Second of all, she afterwards was like, oh, it wasn't so bad. I looked pretty good. And like, she got to see herself back at this like particular time in her life, right before she had had her second child. So,
well, it's so perfect for the movie too, which I think is like pretty funny. All this stuff, like this, all this kismet stuff kind of happened. And what I love about the movie is like exactly what you're saying. Like, it's such a small movie, but it's like also, like, weirdly, in some ways, you're most expansive as far as like locations and different languages and just different kind of culture, and it all kind of works really well together.
Yeah, I mean, you have a film that essentially has a little bit of Dutch in the beginning. I think there's some Dutch in it. You hear some Dutch, but then you have like, it's primarily English and Danish with a large amount of Danish, which was, I don't speak Danish, which was that's sort of the fun part of it, was that I got to watch these scenes, and I directed these scenes. Essentially, they're single shots because I was like, there's no way I can cut coverage, not knowing, and there's no script. It's all outlines. So these scenes that I'm not in where they're speaking in Danish, I had to just trust like my gut. Like, I had to look for other things, right? I had to like watch the scene and be like, that felt really cool. What did you guys say? what is the content there? And then Ingrid, bless her soul, was so kind to help me translate and subtitle the film. She sent me the entire transcript once the film was cut, of it transcribed into English so that I could make subtitles, which was incredibly kind.
That's amazing.
And also was really fun for me because a few things. Subtitles are like direct translations are sometimes strange. And so like I took a little bit, I would say, I don't know if artistic, I don't know what you'd call it, but essentially like I would look at the line that she sent back and be like, there's a kind of a better way to say this in English or a more interesting way, and like make small tweaks along the way. And I realized, I'm like, that's the nature of translating. Right? Is like, does something that, like, it might be the direct translation of what they said, but like, what's the spirit of what they're saying? And so that was kind of fun. And it was a great experience because Danish, in particular, one of my favorite languages to listen to, is the hardest for me to understand. Like, and so it was really cool to like connect with the language in that way. And be really like, and I went, wow, they really did a lot in those scenes that I could have never even possibly. My job as a director was to just like be patient, listen, and like let the film reveal itself, which was a huge transformation for me, and have really tried to work that way since. Midwinter was like, here's a script. I see the script as like a best of what I can do. I have an investor. I'm going to bring all these people that have helped me along the way, try to put them in roles, actors I've worked with, some actors I haven't who are professionals. Like I just got to like, and I created this like kind of machine that I thought worked really well. And I love that film, but How to Make Love is like, oh, it just, to me, is like, it's like, it was the pure joy of filmmaking.
What do you want to leave people with this film? And this, maybe the conversation, the screening?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm thrilled that it's playing in Omaha, because I loved making In a Good Way there. I love the work that you've made. And I love the Midwest and the Midwest, like, artists. Projecting is such a cool idea for a project. And the fact that, like, it's sponsored and these screenings are free, to me, that's incredible. And that micro cinema is like the embodiment of what I was doing as a filmmaker. Is like, this is the perfect place for this film in particular, and really my body of work, my this film in particular, like, this is where it should be. That's what it was about. It's the same ethos that I made it is the way that it's being exhibited. So I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for the Omaha people, for artists and non-artists, and anyone. I would say, like, this film is for, A, I think it's really funny. I can say that. I think it's really funny. I think it's really heartfelt. It feels like, I wouldn't say it feels sexy, but it's like tinged with this like kind of sexual tension that is really real. And like there's a scene we shot for 40 minutes, I think. And at some point, it's maybe the first time in my life as an actor where like, I just totally got lost in this scene. Like, she's reading tarot cards to me. And there was a point where I was like, I don't know the difference between fact and fiction, reality and not. And not in some kind of dangerous way. It was just this like really beautiful, authentic connection that we created between us as artists and us as characters. And I just think that people, that it'll be palpable and people will feel that on the screen. So I think there, if that is not a reason to see it, I don't know what else to tell you. I will say I'd leave it on this. That film works because of Ingrid and Miriam, and I get to just be a clown. And Ingrid and Miriam brought all the heart and like rooted it in true Danish culture. And they are, they're true Danes. They're both incredibly kind, great, gracious artists. And I just think that like, I got very lucky to make a movie with them. And I will do it again tomorrow if I could. So, How to Make Love, finally figure it out.